Have you ever had an experience of the numinous, of the holy other, a time when you were able to pierce through the veil and see beyond it, or to look within the ordinary? I had one of those experiences. I was in my early 20s, and I was part of a group of young adults that had been meeting at St. Augustine's Episcopal Church on Telegraph. And we had been gathered there that day. We had some teaching. The sun was setting, and the space was dimly lit by that light. We had heard a couple of stories from some of the young adults that were part of this about what was going on in their lives. And then we began to sing. I can't tell you to this day what we sang, only that it came from deep within. And the song filled the space and filled us. And then it happened. It was unexpected, unbidden, and I had this deep and abiding sense that we were in the midst of the holy. I didn't quite know what to do with this. I had never felt anything quite like it. It was a visceral feeling. It was a feeling of astonishing belovedness. We were very different people from all kinds of places in life. And yet in that moment, in the midst of this difference, I felt this profound sense of connectedness, of intimacy, of oneness. And it was one of the more profound experiences I've ever had, and I wanted to stay there forever, right? This feeling of connectedness was so good, was so true. I mean, it was as solid as the ground I was standing on. I wanted to stay there forever. And then it was over. And the service finished, and I had to work the next day. That's kind of how these things happen. And so I left, and I walked out of St. Augustine's Church into the cool Oakland night. I tried to figure out what I was supposed to do with this. So I have a lot of compassion for our friend Peter. In our gospel passage today, Peter and James and John, these three students of Jesus, have been invited to go up the mountain with him. And so they are apart. And somehow, we don't know how, I don't think we ever really do, they see Jesus changed, transformed. All of a sudden, Jesus is seen as a dazzling white. This is a classic theophany where the person shines so brightly from within, it is as if light is emanating from them. And they see him talking. Elijah and Moses are there. And Peter and James and John are terrified. Right? It's that ancient sense of the word awesome. Something that is so big, so intense, so other than that you are afraid. And yet, they know it to be good. They know it to be true. And so, what are they to do? Right? They're uncertain. They're confused. What do we say? What do we do? In this case, Peter chooses both. And sweet, loyal, fierce Peter stumbles forward. And he does this by saying, let's just pitch a tent, right? This is so amazing. This is so good that let's build some structures. And he doesn't say this, but it's my guess, so that we can just stay here forever, right? We can cocoon in this goodness. This is not an unusual response. When we come to these moments in our lives where we get these glimpses, right? These glimpses of mercy, of justice, of real reconciliation. When you come to those moments, you just want to do something, control it, package it, find it so that you can experience it forever. I get where that comes from. And yet, some of you may know that I am a big fan of t-shirts. I really like t-shirts because they are a great personal marketing tool. With a pithy phrase or a couple of phrases or a really creative image, you can tell the rest of the world what you believe. And it's kind of ironic because I so rarely get to wear them. Like, so rarely. Maybe, and it might just be, that's why I like license plates and the ability to frame a story in a license plate. In any case, many years ago, I was with a friend, and we were lamenting about how in many of the justice and peace movements, the focus is almost entirely on action, and contemplation is missing. And it's like that center that the Franciscan friar Richard Rohr operates. It's the center for action and contemplation. And Richard Rohr always says the most important word in that title is the word "and." And so we were talking about this, and the story that came to mind for me was the story of Jesus and Martha and Mary. And Martha is distracted by the many things, whereas Mary is able to be present to the one thing. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, the t-shirt that I want to make would say, don't just do something, sit there. Right? Since then, apparently, somebody's already written a book, so there that went. Don't just do something, sit there. Now, this is not about quietism or about apathy, but really coming to that place where you're able to sit and contemplate and listen. And I think that's part of why we're here this Sunday. We do this every year. Every year before we enter into the season of Lent, we come to this holy mountain and we see Jesus transfigured. It's like in the fall when just before we enter into Advent and into Christmas, we encounter Christ the King. And I think we do this at this time of year because we're going to walk sometimes a difficult path. And so it's important at the start to get this vision of what is true. This vision of who Jesus is, and this vision of light and goodness. It's almost like we're here so that we can see that, we can hold on to it as we go forward. It's like those clay crosses that we're going to fire in a couple of nights. Something that we can hold on to as we go through this journey of Lent. I think we also do this because Mark's gospel sets this up where Jesus is on a mountain. And the disciples hear the voice, "This is my son. Listen to him." And Jesus will go through many trials until again at the end of the gospel, again he's up on high. And the centurion will be the one who says, "Truly, this was God's son." This is what we mean when we talk about going from glory into glory. Because these moments of truth and beauty, they are real. But we've got to walk down the mountain, trusting that the glory that is to be revealed is present even in the hardship and the pain and the challenge. There is glory in the emergence of new life in the midst of suffering. And so this week I've been wondering, what will it take to get ready? Ready to really enter into a time of repentance, of reflection, of reconciliation. Will it be for you? What are the practices that you're going to take up or put down? How will you pray? What will you bring to worship? How will you serve? We come to this Sunday to be on the mountain so that we know what we're working for. We come to this Sunday to get ready, to be present long enough to listen. Don't just do something. Sit there.